Pippa Hudson on Cake Talk. Call Pippa on 021 446 0567.
Joining me in studio are two bloggers and world travelers named Vaughan and Lauren Manuel McShane. Their popular blog, thetravelmanual.com, has been voted Africa's top travel blog for 2 years running. So it's probably no surprise that when one of the world's leading travel blogs decided to publish a book about extraordinary destinations, they turned to these two for contribution. That book is National Geographic's Ultimate Journeys for Two, and it launched globally last week. It's a great pleasure to welcome Vaughan and Lauren to the studio today. Great to have you guys with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
I mean, what a wonderful job to have, traveling the world and writing about the experience. I mean, I can think of a few things I'd like to do more than that. But this book, sponsored by National Geographic, but it's actually born out of another blog, and it's a blog that I think many of our listeners will be familiar with, Honey Trek, which Mike and Anne Howard have been blogging for a long time now about their travels around the world on what they call the world's longest honeymoon. How did you two come to be included in this book that they put together?
So a little while ago, they actually contacted us and they said, you know, we have this incredible assignment with National Geographic and we'd love you guys to contribute. And we were like, National Geographic, yes.
You should have noted that, yeah.
Of course. And, you know, they just wanted to find out what we love in particular. And our thing is definitely beaches and islands. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, we are on it. That's our thing, the water, the ocean, water sports. So We'd love to be a part of it.
Okay, so this led to you contributing the chapter on beaches and islands. What have you written about in this book, Vaughan?
Well, we spoke about Tiaman Island. When we lived in Malaysia, we lived very close and nearby to Tiaman Island, just a two-hour ferry ride. And so obviously we spent a lot of time. It's tropical paradise. It's, I mean, white beaches, warm water, clear, crystal, beautiful reef, abundant in fish and lush mountains. It really is paradise.
Sounds stunning.
Yeah, it is. And so basically, Lauren and I wrote about our time on Tiaman and just give people tips to, you know, when they go there, what to do, what they can do, and yeah.
So the book is obviously aimed at couples traveling together.
Yes.
You are a couple who travels together and writes together a lot. I mean, it's something that really tests a relationship, doesn't it, when you apply the stress of travel and the things that can go wrong. I'm thinking of all the episodes of The Amazing Race I've watched in which relationships have unraveled before our eyes when that pleasure's applied. How do you two manage it? I mean, have you had times when you've driven each other crazy while traveling, or how do you cope?
For sure. It is something that's quite tough because, I mean, 2 weeks after we got married, we actually decided to leave and live in Asia, and we traveled full time. We actually were on honeymoon, as Honey Trek were, but the only difference is we had a baby after 3 years and they carried on traveling. And I think you really do have to find balance, because being in each other's space, the sleeping, the eating, the traveling, the missioning, as well as the working, writing and photography, can really be a lot. So you have to try and really balance and separate work times and say, now it's our time at certain times in the evening, stop working, or you know, when we travel. I don't know, what are some of the things that
Well, I mean, I generally handle the navigation, even though Lauren thinks she's better navigator than I
am. Are you looking to pick a fight?
Yeah. And we haven't got lost yet. Although I did lose our passports once.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it is, there are challenges. And I think you just need to, as Lauren said, you know, set those boundaries, put them up in place, and then you can just feel free to enjoy it and not melt down completely like those guys on Amazing Race.
How long have you actually been writing your blog?
Well, I started the blog in about 2009, end of 2008. Mm-hmm. And it was very much just a personal diary while I was in Korea. Family and friends could kind of see it. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down all the stories and the quirky things that I saw and about life there. And it kind of morphed. And as we got together and as we got married, Vaughan is very much the SEO pro and digital pro. He really helped develop the blog into what it is now, which is really much a guide, a resource, and a storytelling platform for families, for couples.
Well, basically, like Lauren said, after we got married, 2 weeks we left to Thailand. Mm-hmm. I think it was very shortly after that I said, wow, how do we turn this into our lifestyle? Mm-hmm. And Lauren already had set up the blog. She had the platform there for us. And so we just threw ourselves completely into creating this website and creating this this thing that we've got today.
Now, I mean, adding a baby into the mix does complicate matters slightly. Anyone who's been on a long distance flight with a baby will know that. How do you manage that aspect? I mean, have you decided to make a base and settle down a bit more now that you're a family of three, or does baby just go with you on the trot the whole time?
Well, I think traveling with a toddler is wild. And he's not even 2 yet. He's been on 27 flights already.
Wow, okay.
So he's well traveled. And we have decided to have Cape Town as a base. Mm-hmm. So we do lots of short trips, but it's not the semi-nomadic lifestyle that we had before.
Mm.
And luckily for us, he is a happy traveler. But we do have to, you know, with a child, you've got to have a lot more preparation. There's a lot more packing in mind. You've got to keep...
Patience, preparation, and packing.
The three P's. And even then, things can absolutely go, you know, go pear-shaped when you're in the air before you even get to your destination. So, yeah, you've got to be spontaneous as well and let things unravel as they do, I think.
Mm-hmm. Patience, preparation, and packing. If you take nothing out of this interview, remember those three P's. A few people starting to ask about some of the more memorable places you've been to. Before I ask you that question, I just want to remind the listeners that that Lauren and Vaughan have very kindly brought along a copy of the book, Hot Off the Press. So if you would like to win a copy of National Geographic's Ultimate Journeys for Two, we're asking you to either phone in or leave a voice note telling us about your most memorable travel experience. Doesn't matter where it was. It doesn't matter if it was memorable for the right reasons or for the wrong ones. We simply want to hear from you which trip has stood out that you'll never forget. What is that trip? You've traveled you've done 6 continents, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably very difficult to ask you to pick out standout destinations, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
It is, but I think, just off the top of my mind right now, Vietnam, we went on scooter, on Vespa back through the Mekong Delta. We've been chased by orangutan in Borneo.
Wow.
just looking for them was special enough, but to be chased by them. And then we lived in Thailand on an island for a year. Mm. And we also rented a jeep in Bali and went road tripping for quite a while, and that was really special.
Yeah, and I think two of our other favorites for both of us, we've both been to Istanbul, but not together. Mm-hmm. It's a favorite destination of us. And then also Israel is one of our, also didn't go there together. But
and locally, we spent a month road tripping around the country together, which is, you can hardly scratch the surface in a month.
Yeah.
But the Wild Coast, you know, the Drakensberg, Kruger, it just, South Africa is...
We're really spoiled,
aren't we,
with what we have at our doorstep. Yeah.
Spoiled.
Yeah. What about the ones that went horribly wrong? I mean, have you had total trips that were an absolute disaster? Or does that planning and preparation and packing work for you?
Well, yes. I think the one trip that comes to mind, which Vaughan mentioned, was when he lost our passports in Penang, Malaysia. And we actually were there for a visa run, which meant that if we lost them, we couldn't return to Thailand, where we were living at the time.
Oops.
So that was his oops.
Yeah. Luckily, kind soul handed them into the police.
Fantastic. What a relief.
A negative trip, I think, maybe was the... Which was strange, the Seychelles. We found it. I don't know if it was Caleb on the 5-hour flight there or just the whole experience. It was just, we found that to be...
It was a bit strange. So we've lived on a couple of islands. We've been to a few. And the Seychelles wasn't one of those places where the islanders are laid back or exceptionally friendly. And expats as well have just said they haven't really had good experiences. So it was a bit of a strange trip for us because we expected one thing and then it wasn't really. But, that's what you get with travel. Yes. You have all these...
That's part of the risk of the unknown. That's part of the deal. But it's interesting to hear that because it's it's seen as one of the most desirable spots to visit on everyone's bucket list. So, and often it's the out of the way spots, the unexpected places you go
100%.
To that deliver so much more. Maybe because the expectation wasn't there to start with.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you could say right now one place that you think everyone in South Africa should go and see if they had the choice, if they had the budget, bucket list stuff, what would it be?
The Wild Coast. You don't even have to leave the country.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you do have to take time. Just because of the distances, you Google says 3 hours when it actually ends up being 8 hours. Get in a car and you don't need a lot of money because there are beautiful spots along the coast where you can actually just stay in huts right on the beach. And we had some of the best experiences. Coastal trails, Hole in the Wall is up there near Bulangula. Life is very simple, but just... spectacular. And you actually feel like you live in Africa. I think when we live in Cape Town, we're like, You know, it's very much Europe. But as soon as you hit the wild coast, it is pristine.
Mm. It is another country. Yeah. I spent a lot of childhood holidays there, and you're sitting here making me still feel all nostalgic to go back again. Firstly, congratulations on being included. I mean, it's a real feather in your cap to be recognized at this level of international blogging. Where to next for you? Have you got the next trip planned already?
We do. In fact, we leave on Sunday for a 3-week journey to Switzerland, Italy, and Austria.
Sounds like heaven. Okay.
Well with a 2-year-old.
It'll be our first sort of intercontinental flight with Caleb, and 11 hours of mystery.
Okay, so it's good luck to you, and good luck to him sitting behind you in front of you. Guys, thanks for joining us today. Please, won't you just tell our listeners where they can find your blog and read up on more of your exciting travels?
So you can come to thetravelmanual.com, and it's manual, M-A-N-U-E-L. And you can find us on all the social media platforms, and we'll be chatting about the book. And you can buy the book on Amazon, and it will be available in South Africa later on in the year, probably October.
Vaughan and Lauren Manuel McShane, great to meet you guys, and happy travels.
Thanks so much, Pippa.
Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk. Call Pippa on 021-446-0567.
We asked you to phone and tell us about your most memorable travel experiences, and Gordon has done just that from Newlands. Gordon, welcome to the show. What was the destination that ticks that box for you?
Pippa, good afternoon to you. My most favorite country in the world, and I've traveled a lot, is New Zealand. And my wife and I did a timeshare swap a while ago, and we stayed at a town called Wanaka, which is just over the mountain from Queenstown on the South Island, part of the most beautiful part of the world you could wish to go to. And the lady in the travel tourist information office advised us to go to Mount Cook.
Mm.
And on our way to go, we drove up to Mount Cook. We stopped and we bought some salmon, and a bottle of wine and some crackers, and we drove down and we sat at the ski resort in the middle of summer looking over this magnificent lake with a clear view of Mount Cook, the tallest peak in New Zealand.
Mm.
And the whole experience didn't cost us a cent. And it was one of those, when you stood there, you just sort of said, thank you, Lord, I'm alive and I can see such beauty.
Fantastic.
It was just spectacular. And I advised anybody, if they want to go for a spectacular holiday, go to New Zealand. There's everything you see in Europe, including bad weather. But as a tourist, it is absolutely fabulous. And the people are so nice, and it's just an incredible place to visit. So if I wrote a blog, it would be all about New Zealand, walking the Norfolk Town Trail, going to Queenstown, landing in the airport there. The food is delicious. It's just unbelievable. So that's my recommendation.
Gordon, thank you for that recommendation. In return, I've got one for you. If you ever find yourself back in Wanaka, go and look for a restaurant called the Wanaka Gourmet Kitchen, which is run by a South African bloke by the name of Dale Bowie, who's one of my high school friends and has been winning awards for the best restaurant in the area in the last year or two. So a tip for you next time you go back. Okay.
I don't know if I'll go back. I've got a few other places on the bucket list I have to tick off. But as a once-off, it was worth going there like you cannot believe. And especially just having a local timeshare swap to use it in New Zealand is worth it. So.
Gordon, thanks so much for the tip on the timeshare swap as well. What a wonderful thing to think of, an experience like that didn't cost you a cent. How many of us get to claim that these days? Kim in Franschhoek sending a message on WhatsApp saying, my most memorable trip was Israel. 2 years ago, I went for 3 months at this very time. It took patience and preparation before I got packing, but it was a time of restoration, renewal, and reformation for me that turned my life around when I thought my world had come to an end. Kim, what a transformative story. Again, thanks for sharing your memorable travel moment with us. I think we've got a voice note or two to take a listen to.
Hi, Pippa. One of my favorite travel stories is when I went on a work trip to the Victoria Falls. And I don't know why, but as I came around the corner and saw the falls, I just burst into tears. It was just unbelievably beautiful. It's Catherine speaking.
Thank you, Catherine. It's still on my bucket list. Haven't made it yet. Let's hear another voice note.
My most memorable trip was most definitely Israel. And I was actually there at this very time for 3 months, 2 years ago. And yeah, before I had, you know, before my preparation and lots of patience and my packing, it was definitely worthwhile because it was a period of restoration, reformation and renewal for me at a time when I'd gone through great difficulty. And yeah, at a time I just thought that my world had come to an end. So that definitely stands out for me.
Thank you for following up on the earlier message with that voice note. Let's listen to one more of your memorable travel stories.
Hey, Pippa, my fondest memory of traveling would have to be my first trip to Indonesia, where myself and two mates rented scooters, packed them with our board bags, camera bags, and clothing bags, and drove from Bali, caught a ferry to Lombok, crossed Lombok, got another ferry into Sumbawa, and drove for another 3 or 4 hours to get to a little town called Maluk, where one of the best waves in the world breaks. The traveling to get there was absolutely grueling, but we got there and the swell had arrived, the winds were perfect, and we surfed pretty much the best waves I've ever surfed for 3 days straight. And then unfortunately did the same trip all the way back to Indonesia, back to Bali, but I had the biggest smile on my face the whole time, just remembering what perfection we found. So it was all worth it. Well, that's my story. Thanks.
Now you've made me jealous, and I can't help thinking of another Indonesian surfing trip that had an even worse start to it, and that's the story of Brett Archibald. You may remember the story of how he fell overboard and was lost at sea for more than 25 hours, miraculously survived. And the thing that has always stood out for me from that experience and that story is that he was enjoying himself so much that after going through that tremendous ordeal, he stayed on to finish his surfing holiday in Indonesia and got back in the water the next day. I guess that gives you insight into just how good it was. Some lovely stories. Thanks for sharing them. Thank you, Chris and Takai, sending an SMS confirming or seconding Gordon's recommendation of Wanaka, saying it's stunning. I grew up in Alexandra, which is about 30 minutes away from Wanaka, a stunning place to grow up, but I now love living in Cape Town. Chris says, I've travelled 62 countries and I love Nepal the most. The people are so friendly and really made my 6 weeks there very, very memorable. Chris, again, thanks for the recommendation. We'll try and make space a bit later in the show for some more of your travel memories. Thanks for sharing them with us, and please keep doing so on our WhatsApp line, which is 072-567-1567.